All right, there you go. The countdown is going on. And speaking of countdowns, Bill Flores joins us from D.C. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Good morning, Scott. Great to be with you guys.
Well, the countdown toward the fiscal cliff, I guess, is where did that come from? Do you know the genesis of the phrase fiscal cliff? I mean, I'm just wondering.
I don't really know where it came from. I believe it came up in a hearing where the director of the CBO, Congressional Budget Office, was testifying to the Budget Committee. And I believe I heard him use that term for the first time. This was back early last year when we were looking at the potential impact of tax increases, sequestration, and a variety of the expiration of other tax extenders, things like that.
Now, there doesn't seem to be any kind of a hint that there's any headway that's being made, at least up front. There may be behind the scenes, but, I mean, what's your take? Where are we with this?
Well, actually, in the House, in my view, we've made a lot of progress, and we did back in the summertime before we left for the election recess. So we had all this wrapped up by September. We passed an extension of current tax rates. We passed an outline for comprehensive pro-growth tax reform that puts more revenues on the table. And then we also passed a Reconciliation Act to undo the impact of sequestration for 1 year while we look for a longer-term solution. So we did all that. Unfortunately, our bully pulpit, if you will, is not nearly as big as the president's. And so every time he got up and gave, you know, by then he was in full campaign mode, and so he was talking about how the Republicans wanted to drive us over the cliff when really we had already taken care of our business and he had not.
Now, there's no indication, at least it doesn't appear today, on Wednesday, that the president and congressional leaders are going to speak together this week. Is that right?
That's correct, Scott, and it's pretty much a shame. And it's not because that John Boehner is not trying for his part. He has tried to have multiple meetings with the president, but the president's decided that he ran on the platform of raising taxes on a particular group of people, and that he seems to be politically heck-bent on doing that rather than sitting down and trying to say, okay, what's the best thing for the American people? We need to remember that the way his tax bill has been scored, his tax proposal will cost 700,000 middle-class American jobs. But he achieves this political desire of raising taxes on a certain income group. To me, that's unacceptable because there are other alternatives that focus on growing the economic pie, not trying to reallocate a shrinking economic pie. But he's heck-bent to take it on the road this week instead of sitting down with us and trying to work through this mess.
Bill Flores joining us from D.C. Speaking of being on the road, you were on the road last week, and that's why we couldn't chat. Now, where were you and what were you able to find out?
I was on a congressional delegation trip to Japan and to Taiwan. In Japan, our 7th Fleet headquarters are located there. And so we were spending time with the sailors of the 7th Fleet, talking to them about the military's pivot from, the military's had to change its strategy from being able to address two major conflicts at one time, to being more Asia-focused. And so we were sitting down and talking to the 7th Fleet about how that transition is going, that pivot, if you will, and then also to get their ideas about what sequestration was going to do to them. And then we spent some time in Taiwan to talk to review naval operations there.
So now have they started to prepare to scale back, or where are they in the process since we are getting toward the end of the year?
Well, interestingly enough, and this has been one of the things that I've continuously heard, is that the Pentagon, the leadership of the Department of Defense, is not prepared any plans that they've shared with their field commanders on how to deal with sequestration. So I don't know that means that the Pentagon has not done anything about it, but they certainly aren't sharing their plans with commanders out in the field.
Seems like if they had any marching orders, those ought to be the guys and gals getting it.
Well, yes, sir. I mean, it's not the way the private sector would run things, for sure. And that's one of the things that was disappointing. We had Secretary Panetta on, along with the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, in a Budget Committee hearing back in the summertime, and they were basically saying that they were not planning for sequestration.
You know,
and I don't know how you do that.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, magically snap your fingers and it all starts rolling.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go back to Cliff for just a minute, simply because we were discussing it on the show yesterday. You know, a lady called up, and what happens obviously Americans are concerned about themselves and how it will individually affect them. So, I mean, can we say, well, address, if you will, the whole idea of cuts in social programs and how you think the Republican Party is going to come down on that, because obviously people are concerned about what's going to happen to their pocketbooks.
Well, let me put it to start this way. Our social programs, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, are all insolvent, and they are all going to hit their walls at different times. And when those walls are hit, then the benefits are going to be cut, and they're going to be cut substantially. So that's one of the things that people need to be aware of. These programs are built on unsustainable foundations. Even if they're not fixed somehow, it's going to be the single largest intergenerational transfer of wealth from one generation, in this case, those that are 30 and under, to those that are 50 and older. And so this has to be fixed. It has got to be fixed. And that will involve some changes, and we can make changes that don't hurt current retirees or those that are close to retiring, but still preserve these programs for future generations. If we do nothing, though, they're going to hit the wall. Now, what happens under sequestration? Nothing happens to Social Security. Nothing happens to Medicaid. But Medicare providers are going to receive a cut in what they get paid. And what that means is that you'll have fewer doctors and hospitals and so forth providing care to Medicare patients. And so you'll see longer lines at the doctor's office if you can get in at all if you're a senior.
Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing that came up yesterday is we heard that the write-off for interest on mortgages might go away. Obviously, that impacts a lot of people.
Yes, sir, it does. But I've got numbers that show that only about 8% of Americans take a mortgage interest deduction.
So, is that right?
Wow. Yes, sir. Wow. Yeah, and I've got a spreadsheet. That if you'll send me an email when we're done to remind me, I'll send this spreadsheet to you.
Okay.
But the when you look at the different deductions that are itemized, they don't have as big an impact on middle class families as you'd think.
That's fascinating. Did not know that. Real quickly, I want to talk about they've announced the chairman for the next session of Congress, and the state of Texas has done pretty well.
Yes, I was very pleased. We've got Pete Sessions in charge of the Rules Committee. The Rules Committee is very, very powerful because it determines what comes to the floor and how it comes to the floor. Michael McCaul is going to be chairman of Homeland Security, and I think any of us that have watched him know how great he is in terms of trying to make sure that Congress provides proper oversight and the protection of our homeland. We're going to have lost my train of thought all of a sudden. We're going to have... excuse me, it's taking me a second. We're going to have Jeb Hensarling that's in charge of financial services.
Right.
I think he will do a great job. And then we're going to have, where's our other one here? We're going to have Lamar Smith, who is the chairman of Space Science and Technology.
Now, remind people what committees you're on today.
Today I'm on Natural Resources, Budget, and Veterans Affairs.
Okay, and then new committee assignments for the members, when does that come out?
Well, they're going to come out over the course of the next few days.
Okay.
We have a group of committees called A committees. The A committees are going to be determined tomorrow. I am up for assignment to one of the A committees, and then based on what happens there, we'll know what my final committee assignments are within
Great.
The next few days.
Okay, and finally, we don't talk about international too often, but obviously things in Cairo have blown up again. Mohamed Morsi, the president, now wants to call himself a pharaoh. Where does the United States need to be in this situation as far as your view?
Well, I think I'm really disappointed that the president decided to not get involved earlier in a proactive way when Egypt was trying to come unbolted at the seams. He basically promoted this mess that we've got without trying to think ahead about what the outcome was going to be. What I would propose, given where Morsi is that we provide no aid to them and that we push as hard as we can through diplomatic and financial channels to have Morsi either adhere to the democratic principles that he ran under or that he get out of the way.
Yeah, he sure likes being in the leader's chair right now, and again, seems to be maybe a stronger, a more dominant leader than Mubarak was.
Yes, exactly, and that's what's scary. And you could have, I mean, you could almost predict this coming because the Muslim Brotherhood believes in centralized power, and they seem to be bent on imposing Sharia law rather than any kind of a secular democratic system. And so, I mean, this was easily foretellable. But unfortunately, the president and his team didn't pay attention to what was coming.
Got it. Bill Flores joins us on Wednesdays when Congress is in session. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time this morning, Bill.
Scott, great talking to you, and I hope our listeners will continue praying for our country and our military men and women.
All right, thanks.